Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, the Life Insurance Corporation's public issue offer is finally here with the long-awaited initial public offering opening on the 2nd of May for anchor investors. It then opens up to the public. The LIC chairperson calls it LIC 3.0. The government says it has a long-term strategic vision. But though this will be India's biggest public issue, it's not quite what it was meant to be. The LIC IPO was initially for 10% of holding. It was reduced to 5% later and now further to 3.5%. So is the LIC IPO a genuine game changer in the Indian equity market? That's what we're going to be looking at. Next up on the show, an exclusive interview with the Maharashtra Power Minister. He tells us about a major power crisis in the state. Not just talking about Mumbai, we are talking about all of Maharashtra, with several key thermal power plants down to less than 2 days of coal supply remaining. But let's move immediately to our top story. We're joined by Rajneesh Kumar, the former chairperson of SBI, Amrish Baliga, Nasser Saleem, Mr. Nilesh Sathe and Prashant Khemka. They're all leading equity experts and experts on the stock market and experts on what this IPO can actually mean. Thank you all very much for being with us. Amrish Baliga, let me come to you first. There is obviously a sense of optimism. This is a real jewel, is the Life Insurance Corporation of India. But are you satisfied that, you know, as a percentage of holding, the expectation has been brought down? What will be offered to market has been brought down initially from 10% to considerably less.
Exactly. I mean, initially there were talks that the valuation will be closer to about 10 lakh crores. Then finally, when the markets are still moving up, people start talking of 15 lakh crores of valuation for LIC. And an issue size which was as high as about 75,000 to 80,000 crores.
Yep.
From there, it's been brought down to 21,000 crores of issue and a valuation of about 6 lakh crores, which I think is very, very decent. I think they have left enough on the table. I think they have learned the lesson from Paytm IPO. So they have left enough on the table for the IPO investors. So I'm quite happy with the sort of valuations which they have come out with. And the other thing is on the total amount of fund raised, because 80,000 crores would have drained out the market of liquidity for a while, but 21,000 crores is something which I think our markets can today easily absorb.
Mr. Sathe, do you believe that the amount which is now expected to come in at about 3.5% of holding, that is what is up now for the IPO, is reasonable because it takes into account a very changed global scenario at the moment. The entire liquidity, international liquidity, domestic liquidity, taking all of those into concern, this is reasonable.
Yes, absolutely, it is reasonable. And government probably has learned lesson not only from Paytm, but probably from GIC and New India. Because these were the issues which have still not touched the offer price. So it's a good venture on the part of government that they have reduced the expectation up to 21,000 crore. And that itself will also mean that 7 crore shares will be offloaded, which is not a small number.
Okay.
And more than 1 crore new accounts have been opened for the policyholders, so DMAT accounts. And it's certainly going to be a game changer because there will be more new retail customers who will be joining the equity market. So going forward, the equity market will strengthen to that extent. So, and this 3.5% over a period of time in the next 5 years will have to go to 25% as per SEBI guidelines, which means even at present rate, government will be in a position to get 1,50,000 crores, even if the price doesn't go up. And obviously, it will definitely go up because as is expected, there is something left on the table. So taking into account the expectation that we have, government will be in a position to generate at least 2.5 lakh crores out of 25% of LIC shares, which will be offloaded in the next 5 years.
Mr. Kumar, life insurance in India is highly under-penetrated. We're looking at IPOs and we're looking at this particular company, but the fact this is a sector where a lot more work could have possibly been done earlier on. It's happening now. What does this mean for life insurance in India?
No, the listing of LIC, it is a major event as far as the capital markets are concerned. There are already many private sector listed entities. HDFC Life sits on the top and it is followed by SBI Life and then ICICI Prudential. So already the benchmarks for valuation of the insurance stocks is already there established in the market. The significance of LIC lies in the fact that once it gets listed, in all likelihood, it would be the fifth largest in terms of market cap. Mm-hmm. And amongst the public sector, so far the State Bank had the honor of being in the top 10, but now they will also have company. And as far as the market is concerned, you are very right that the insurance market in India is still under-penetrated and there is a scope for growth in the market. LIC is the leader in the market. There is no doubt about it. But the progress made by the private life insurance also, that has been quite significant in the last 10 years.
Right.
So it's good, good for the consumers who buy insurance product. One, that more is merrier, and the other is about when there is a competition in the market. Then obviously the consumer always gets benefit.
Okay. Nasir Saleem, if we look at the targets and achievements as far as IPOs in this country are concerned, and I'm looking at numbers from 2011 onwards, it's almost always, irrespective of the government, been a flop show. 2011, there was an expectation of 40,000 crores. There was 13,000 was actually realized. 2021, 2022, 1,75,000 was the target. 9,110.5 crores is what has been realized so far. Almost every year, other than just a handful of years, have we been able to change this? Do you believe that, you know, we make announcements which are unrealistic, or do you actually believe that, you know, there have been factors which have come in the way of realizing this?
Hi, Vishnu. Good evening. Vishnu, so I'll tell you a very interesting question again. But, you know, so I think it has to be looked in from a perspective of what you're looking at disinvesting. Mm-hmm. The LIC, for example, is a jewel in the crown, as far as the PSU space is concerned, I must tell you. I mean, you know, we've had all the panelists just mention and clearly outline what it does in terms of balance sheets and what it does in terms of distribution, you know, the sheer push it will give to the entire BFSI space. And therefore, coming to the question, you see, today, if you look at numbers, Vishnu, and what I would say this is actually going to help achieve one third of the disinvestment receipts target for this financial year, as far as the government is concerned, which was pegged at 65,000 crores, this 21,000 is going to get very easy, right? It's going to be, which is almost one third of the entire number,
right,
for this fiscal, right? Now, the point is that you have to put this in perspective to some of the other disinvestment opportunities. Mm-hmm. LIC in itself, as I said, is a cash cow, you know, brings in with itself amazing comparative advantage, great moats, as we speak in, you know, in our business terms. Let's also understand, Vishnu, I'll give you certain numbers here, and I'm sure the panelists will agree with me no less. Mm-hmm. 7% of contribution of India's GDP comes from LIC.
Right.
Now, that's massive.
Right? Yes.
Please understand, it has the highest claim ratio in terms of claim ratio stability. You have the highest number of first-time premium collections that happen across India, a great distribution network, now digitally enabled. So obviously, you know, the two parts is relative is that one is that, you know, you're putting out a stake of a business, which is very, very interesting. It's a cash cow. Number two, from a transparency perspective, Vishnu, my biggest challenge today, and I can tell you this at Flexi Capital, is when we look at companies, we are worried, are we missing anything in particular? For example, what is the kind of due diligence that a firm is kind of showcasing? Mm-hmm. And today I must tell you, with this disinvestment, as far as LIC is concerned, the moment you go from a public to a closely held PSU to a public listed company, you will have more due diligence. And sure. I heard that one of the panelists mentioned to say that, you know, this has to go up to 25% over a certain number of years, because currently it's at 3.5%,
right?
Which transforms to about 21,000 crores as against an embedded valuation of 6 trillion INR,
right?
6 trillion Indian rupees, right? So obviously the call is, you know, truncated. I think it's a welcome step. Also brings in far more transparency as far as the balance sheets are concerned, Vishnu. And obviously, it's going to get to be more competitive because in the entire BFSI space, insurance is underpenetrated. Sure. I mean, today, between life, non-life, general insurance, the numbers need to be improved drastically.
Right.
And therefore, I think it's a step well taken.
All right, gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us. I'm also joined by Prashant Khemka, founder of White Oak Capital Management. He joins us from Singapore at this stage. Thanks very much for being with us. To you, Mr. Khemka, what is the significance of the LIC IPO, not just for the sector, but potentially for the Indian economy?
So both, Vishnu, first of all, thank you for having me here on the show. It is a very important and significant development, both for the sector, for the economy. It's one of the largest companies, not only largest insurance companies, but one of the largest companies. So for it to be listed on the market is a very welcome development, something the market has been anticipating, and it is in line with the government's policy of divestment and listing of the government enterprises. So it's a positive for the market, positive for the sector, positive for the economy, and positive for, I would say, certainly the government as well. The resources it raises can be used for social development and infrastructure, which is also positive for the country.
Mr. Khemka, there's been this dilution to 3.5%. At 1%, it was expected to be an IPO of 10% of holding. And at 3.5%, this mops up about 21,000 crores. Earlier expectations were what, 70,000 crores. Is this a realistic or a pragmatic way of approaching an IPO, or is it somewhat underwhelming?
See, it is a realistic way of approaching the market. Given the market conditions, given what's happening geopolitically, I think these are in the overall scheme of things. And from a longer-term perspective, Vishnu, it won't matter that we are currently diluting 3.5% or 5% or 10% in the valuation, maybe a little bit here or there, because you have to respect what the market conditions are, where market valuations are. And in light of all those things considered, it's a very realistic approach the government has taken, and it's a welcome approach. Most important is to go ahead as per the government plan and get this listed.
All right, Mr. Khemka, thanks very much for being with us. I'm going to just bring in a couple of views which have come in on Ku. Mohit writes in, says the capital markets in India will get a much needed push because of the LIC IPO. Devraj says, I don't understand why there is this much hype about the LIC IPO. Deepak says the LIC IPO promises to be a game changer for investors. What are the risks that could quash returns for both short-term and long-term benefits? Well, we're going to quickly move on now to another one of our big focus points on this program. Maharashtra in the middle of a real power crisis, not just the city of Mumbai, which has seen some power cuts, not very long, but there have been some power cuts at a time when a lot of consumers have taken to Twitter and they've said that, look, we pay very high rates. You cannot be having power cuts once again. But the real crisis isn't, in fact, in Mumbai. It is in other parts of Maharashtra. It could have a knock-on effect on Mumbai as well. Why? Because the availability of coal in several key thermal power plants is negligible at this stage. It is a real crisis. If you've got a couple of thermal power plants in a state as big as Maharashtra, an industrial hub like Maharashtra, where you have less than 2 days of coal at the plants. I spoke earlier today to Nitin Raut, the power minister of Maharashtra. Here's what he told us. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us. Sir, soaring temperatures, angry residents, many out on Twitter. Do you have any explanation or any assurance that you can offer Mumbaikars on the power situation today and in the days going forward?
Today, the power situation of Mumbai is in control, and we are supplying the power regularly 24/7.
What is the reason why there was disruption of power in the last 24 hours in certain areas?
No, 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 it was not last 24 hours. It was only for 1 hour. There is a
in the
400
last
24
hours. I'm not saying it was out for 24 hours. I'm saying in the period of 24 hours, there were power cuts in Mumbai. People have been complaining about it in several parts of Bombay. For example, Khar West is one of the areas. Adani Power has responded. The Tatas have also tweeted. Why is the disruption happening?
Because of the those lines who came from the Chandrapur to Mumbai to supply power to Mumbai, that is 400 kV circuits, four circuits are there, and those circuits, there is a bus fault. Because of bus fault, the spark happens there, and because of that only the power failure is there.
Will there be power cuts in Mumbai in the days ahead? Can you forecast a schedule?
No. There was for only 1 hour a power shortage. But now it's okay. Now we are supplying the power for 24/7.
Sir, let's focus a little bit on the Maharashtra situation. According to the Times of India, the 7 thermal power stations across Maharashtra are unable to generate power at optimal levels because of a lack of availability of backup coal on their premises. Does this situation remain?
Actually, the coal shortage is there. There is no question about it, because the agreement which we are having with the long-term agreement with the CIL, after the bridge linkage is also there, and some MOU is also there with WCL, SECL and other companies, we will have a contract of 53.76 dashlaksh metric ton, means 10 lakhs metric ton,
okay,
million metric tons. So they are supplying only 37.31 million metric tons. So there is a shortage of the coal about 60 to 70%. Actually, we should get the full quota, but we are not getting the full quota. They are supplying only 85%, and there is a shortage of the 15% of coal. And because after that also, our thermal power units are generating and increasing their power production up to 8.56%. So we are trying to generate and provide the power in a peak period to our people of Maharashtra. But as a issue of the Coal India Limited, they are not giving supply properly. They are not giving the quality of coal in supply. Many area there is a shortage of racks also. And minister himself told, railway ministry that they are not giving supply of racks to the coal company. That's why we are facing the issue. Thirdly, why I don't know, but Maharashtra is facing power politics also, because of Maharashtra is in hand, it is in the hands of the MVA government. Government of India is not cooperating Maharashtra properly, and that's why the shortage is fabricated here.
How are they not cooperating, sir?
They are not supplying the coal actually to the railway siding. They are asking us to take the coal from the face of the mines, mouth of the mines, and they actually, as per the agreement, they should provide us the services up to the coal siding area, railway siding area. But due to the increase in the rate of the diesel, that's why they are not giving proper treatment.
So
they are
state
motherly giving treatment
so that
to us.
So people can understand, can you give us a statistic? What percentage of coal reserves which need to be physically present in these 7 thermal power stations is absent right now? What is the percentage?
Definitely,
shortfall?
I will give you the the percentage of the shortfall in the power plants are, I am telling you, I have in Koradi 166 plant, there is a 1980 megawatt production. It is up to 2 days and 2 days. And Koradi 210 megawatt plant is 1.89%. And Nashik plant, which is 630 megawatt, it is 1.92 days. Bhusawal plant is 1210 megawatt. It is also 1.32 days coal. Parli 750 megawatt, it is 5.52 days coal is there. Paras 500 megawatt, it is 2.11 days coal is there. Chandrapur, there is a 6.25 days coal is there. Khaparkheda, 1,340 megawatt, it is 5.86 days is there. There is a shortage in 2-3 plants, that is Bhusawal, Nashik and one Koradi plant. And their supply which we required is not properly. It is a shortage of 20,000 lakhs coal per day.
But Mr. Rao, that's why the numbers you just told us are very important. I'm trying to understand, in an ideal situation, what is the minimum number of days of coal that you require in each of these plants, in an ideal situation?
At least we required 1 week of coal.
And in many cases, we have less than 2 days of coal. And presently, in many cases, we have less than 2 days.
Many cases, it
1.3, I think you said.
Yeah.
So that's a rail crisis. That is a rail crisis. So you are now going from hour to hour.
Rail racks were not available.
So you are now fighting this battle on an hour-to-hour basis.
Yeah.
100% and there is still no assurance from from the center or from Coal India. There is still no assurance.
They are telling that we are supplying coal, but actually they are not supplying the coal properly as per the agreement.
Okay, so Mr. Rao, now giving the impact of this, across Maharashtra. The impact of this is obviously across Maharashtra, industries, civilian areas as well. And does it, will this impact be felt on Mumbai, or is Mumbai islanded? Is it protected from this power, this shortfall in power of coal?
Not now exactly, because we have done macro planning and we are managing the situation properly. But in the coming rainy season, we will definitely put ourselves in a difficulties. So we have to plan for the rainy season there.
All right, Mr. Rao, this is a rail crisis across Maharashtra, with coal just not available at this stage. And thank you so much for highlighting that. Thank you very much for speaking to us. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.